We have a couple special guests from Moscow, Russia. And I forgot my notes. Natalia Solovyova is the Chief of Musical Sound and Video Recordings Department at the Glinka State Central Museum of Musical Culture in Moscow. And she's going to give a presentation and be assisted by Sergei Strasevsky, who is the audio and video recordings curator, also at the Glinka. And Natalia is happy to get questions, but she would prefer that if you have a question, please write them down and give them to her after the presentation.
Dear colleagues, the history of Glinka State Central Museum of Musical Culture dates back to 1912, when a memorial room of Professor Nikolai Rubinstein was inaugurated at the Moscow Conservatoire. Nikolai Rubinstein, the outstanding pianist, was the chairman of the Moscow section of the Russian Music Society and the founder of the Moscow Conservatoire. That is why the first exhibits of the museum were Nikolai Rubinstein's manuscripts and personal belongings, and also the documents pertaining to the Russian Music Society. In 1943, during the Second World War, the State Central Museum of Musical Culture was set up on the basis of the conservatoire collection. In 1954, it was named after Mikhail Glinka, the founder of Russian classical music. Since 1985, the museum has been located in a new building constructed specially for it. It is noteworthy that an organ has been installed in the concert hall, so the museum can provide a variety of educational and entertaining programs nowadays. Glinka Museum is a member of the International Council of Museums, and it has been included among 35 most important institutions of Russian culture. The museum has the following affiliates: the memorial flat of Alexander Goldenweiser, the outstanding Russian pianist, and the memorial flat of Nikolai Golovanov, the eminent Russian conductor, as well as the memorial house of Fyodor Shalyapin. The Tchaikovsky Center and the memorial flat of Sergei Prokofiev are now being established. The museum collection comprises nearly 1 million items. The collection is unique because it embraces everything that can be related to music, not only Russian, but also to the music of different nations of the world. The exhibits include manuscripts, documents, photographs, sheet music, books, instruments, musical iconography, paintings, sculptures, playbills, memorial musicians' belongings, and the like. The sound archive was set up in 1946. Among its first possessions, there were the Soviet records produced by the Aprilevsky and Noginsky factories. At present, the sound archive has under 92,000 items. These are various audio and video recordings that represent musical culture of different countries, a variety of trends and genres reflecting the progress of sound recording techniques. In the musical instruments department, there are music boxes with metal discs, piano rolls together with the auto piano, and cylinders together with the phonographs. All records, magnetic tapes, audio and video cassettes, CDs, and laser discs are stored in the music sound and video recordings department. The collection of records comprises about 64,000 items and constitutes the basic part of the sound archive. It reflects classical music of various genres and musical folklore, not only of multinational Russia and the former USSR, but also of different nations of the world. Brilliant performers of classical music are most fully represented in this comprehensive collection. For instance, there are a lot of recordings of Fyodor Shalyapin, which have been made by different companies in this century. The selections of sacred and popular music recordings are of considerable range and variety. We are interested both in the Russian Orthodox Church music and the European religious music, along with the recordings of the Soviet popular singers, namely Клавдія Шульженко and Леонид Утесов. For example, there is a collection of recordings of the French popular singer, Edith Piaf, which is of exclusive value. A special place in the museum collection is given to children's records. Not so numerous are narrative recordings that represent poetry, folklore, theatrical, documentary, historical texts. The collection is being formed in a variety of ways. The museum buys the records from companies and collectors, or obtains them as a gift from the state institutions and numerous friends. Thus, the museum has recently obtained recordings of the famous violinist Dmitry Tsiganov as a gift from his family. Tsiganov created a number of violin transcriptions and founded the Beethoven Quartet, that was the first performer of many works by Prokofiev, Shostakovich, Myaskovsky, Shibalin, and other Russian composers. The museum collection comprises records of different companies, thereby reflecting worldwide development of the gramophone industry. However, first of all, it reflects the formation of the Russian gramophone market and the Russian gramophone industry, as well as life and culture of the country with an unusual destiny in the course of the whole century. The last years of the Russian Empire, the USSR, and the new Russia of the 90s are represented in the collection. About 2,000 records released in Russia and abroad before 1917 are available in the museum. Not long ago, when the Melodia Company monopolized the whole record industry, one could hardly believe that in the past there had been a lot of gramophone companies working extensively in our country. Those companies emerged and soon disappeared, since only a few could withstand competition. The activity of those companies, which were the first to penetrate the Russian market, is well represented in the museum collection. These are Berliner Grammophon, Columbia Phonograph Company, Zonophone, Pathé. There are especially many Grammophon, Zonophone, Pathé records, in other words, companies of long stay in Russia. People are still offering such discs to the museum, regretting that they cannot use them anymore because gramophones are no longer available. They are very eager to find somebody to look after them. Among the companies that emerged in Russia between 1910 and 1917, the following are represented in the museum collection: Becca, Stella, Omacord, Favorit, Phonotypia, Odeon, Parlophone, Lyraphone. There are also many Sirena records of Warsaw, very popular in those times. Of particular interest is the production of Extraphone and Metropole. Extraphone records, manufactured in Kyiv, are richly decorated, featuring a beautiful woman on the background of a blooming field. Besides, Extraphone issued the Artista TPS series with autographs and portraits of performers. For example, there are some records with a portrait of the famous violinist Mikhail Erdenko. The Metropole factory, built by the German businessman Gottlieb Moll at Aprilivka station of the Moscow region, is still in operation, and now it is known as the Aprilivsky factory. There are records of Melodia Phone and Orpheon companies that have got a scandalous reputation for their piracy. The equipment of the closed Orpheon was inherited by the Russkoye Akcionernoye Obchestvo Gramofonov, Russian Joint Stock Society of Gramophones. This company was headed by the singer Nikolai Figner. In 1914, during the First World War, the German enterprises began to close, and the above-mentioned company acquired Stella and Metropole matrices, along with the Aprilivsky factory. The records of Russian Joint Stock Society of Gramophones are mainly represented by patriotic works, which were very actual in wartime. Some pre-1917 records of the museum collection were produced by small companies such as Polyphone in the south of Russia in Odessa and Zvukopis, sound recording in St. Petersburg. There is a rare record of the 10 years old Yasha Heifetz produced by Zvukopis. It was likely made in 1911 when the young violinist gave his first recital in St. Petersburg. The history of recording in Russia has not been studied yet and has many a secret hidden in its vast depth. Who can supply lacking information on the origin of Corona records, the red label of which featured an imperial crown? Among recordings of the crown, there is that of Yelena Stepanova, prima donna of the Imperial Russian Opera. It would be extremely interesting to study the activity of Robert Kentz, a businessman who had a store of records in Moscow. There was also a Russian gramophone company of the same name, Robert Kentz, that issued its own catalogs. Of great value is now a series of folk song ensembles of Mitrofan Pyatnitsky, produced by the Robert Kentz Company. Pyatnitsky recorded folk songs. He was the founder of the famous Russian folk choir. His example was followed, and later there appeared a lot of folk song choirs in Russia and abroad. The repertoire of pre-revolutionary records in the museum collection ranges widely and includes sacred, operatic, and symphonic music, as well as popular folk songs, dancing music, marches, potpourri, and recitation to musical accompaniment, and even whirling of the nightingale. There are also recordings of the Russian comic actors. Among famous names recorded, there are outstanding singers Enrico Caruso, Fyodor Shalyapin, Antonina Nizhdanova, Leonid Sobinov, Nikolai and Medea Figner, Мария Михайлова, Георгий Бакланов, Василий Домаев, Владимир Касторский, Дмитрий Смирнов, as well as violinist virtuosi Fritz Kreisler, Jan Kubelik, Pablo Sarasate, Misha Elman, Mikhail Ardenko. Of great value are the recordings of the Velikorussky Orchestra of the Russian folk instruments, the first in Russia, established by the composer and balalaika performer Vasily Andreev. But especially claimed by the present time are recordings of the Russian church music. Demolished churches are now being reconstructed over the whole Russia. The unique cathedral of Christ the Savior, built in memory of battles with Napoleon's army in 1812 and blown up in 1931, is being reconstructed at Moscow. And consequently, the time has come to listen to the pre-revolutionary recordings of the cathedral choir available in the museum collection. However, there are a lot of recordings undeservedly forgotten. I would like to attract your attention to the recordings of St. George Quartet of Vilno, now Vilnius, capital of Lithuania, produced by Gramophone and Xenophone companies. The quartet performed refined arrangements of the works by Glinka, Tchaikovsky, Rossini, Offenbach, Grieg. The old records can tell us a lot of curious things about our ancestors and the life of their feelings. How interesting it is to know what gave them joy or grieved them. Only think about the following names of some Russian instrumental recordings. How sentimental their titles sound. Remembers of the Ball, Broken Heart, Melancholy Days, Suffering, Dreams Are Dead. Other names introduce us into the world of ideal. Sparrows on the Roof, Watermill in the Forest, Forge in the Forest. It is such a pity that modern generation does not know these extremely lovely and cheerful works. But what does the name Riddle mean? Let me tell you about the funny incident that once took place when I was listening to a very strange recording. Both labels of the record indicated that there were four works recorded, while I could hear only one each side. Moreover, each side took less than a minute to listen to, though the record had been 30 centimeters in diameter. Space in between grooves was too wide,
and the needle was quickly moving towards the center. I thought, could it be that a listener should guess the name of one of the indicated works as it is practiced at lessons in musical school? Now I could see why this Zonophone record had the title Riddle. Later, I listened to the recording again, but suddenly, instead of Strauss waltz, I heard the waltz from the Faust opera by Gounod. No, the riddle on the record was not that simple. As was suggested by one of my colleagues, our grandfathers were cleverer and more inventive than we are. Later, I found another record produced by Zonophone and named Riddle. Its diameter was 25 centimeters, and both labels indicated three works. When the record was played back, the needle unexpectedly slided over to other grooves, and suddenly, almost simultaneously, all three works began to sound. That was how the secret of the record Riddle was found. The Gramophone and Zonophone companies released this series for family entertainment. A number of old recordings give rise to reminiscence of the dramatic events. Melancholy waltzes, the waves of Amur River, on hills of Manchuria, remind about the Russia-Japan war. The hymn played at Titanic reminds about the sunk ship. The recordings of the English national anthem of Belgium, Serbian hymn, Chernogoria hymn appeared during the First World War. The more you plunge into old recordings, the stronger is your feeling that nothing has changed in the world. The Soviet period in the development of recording from 1917 to 1941 is as much interesting and as it is little studied. After 1917, the private enterprises were nationalized. The old matrices were still in use for some time. Gramophone industry restoration was slow. The labels of the records of the time indicate the sophisticated abbreviations Mus Priet NKP, Musical Representation of Educational Commissariat, Narkom Tyazhmash, People's Commissariat of Heavy Industry, NKOM, People's Commissariat of Defense Industry. Gradually, a monopolistic trend manifested itself. Many pre-war records were released by Grampras Triest, based on the Naginsky factory in the Moscow region. A number of the Soviet records in the museum collection were produced for export or were released abroad. It should be recognized that at present it is difficult to identify the contacts that existed between the former USSR and foreign gramophone companies. Of particular interest is the activity of the keynote recordings that produced the Music Rooms International series on the basis of originals made in the USSR in 1939. Serious damage was brought to gramophone industry by the war. Unusual records made on X-ray films remind us of that time. After the war, gramophone industry gradually becomes a monopoly, developing the technology of long-playing discs. The Melodia Company, Monopoly, existed from 1964 to 1988. The activity of Melodia is fully represented in the museum collection because one copy of almost each musical record was given to the museum. Beginning from 1988, independent recording companies are arising. As a result, the modern production is almost as rich as many years ago. CDs are being released by many companies. The museum collection is a reflection of cultural ties between Russia and foreign companies. For example, there are records of such foreign companies as Polydor, EMI, Decca, Philips, Telefunken, Supraphon, Edison, Cameo, RCA Victor, Columbia, Mercury, Brunswick, V-Disc, Angel, Capital, etc. A numerous collection of Chinese records reminds about traditional connections between Russia and the East. So much for the records found at the museum. Piano rolls are included into the collection of mechanical music instruments. Among these there are a pianola, a mechanical harmonium, Weltemignon, and auto piano. Veltomenon was so popular in Russia that even now the rose can be found in Russian private collections. The recent acquisition of the museum was one more collection of Veltomenon rose. Now, the museum has in its possession only 1,000 over 1,000 piano rolls. The recordings include Russian and European music, both classical and popular. Veltomenon rolls are of special interest, as they offer the opportunity to hear famous musicians of the early 20th century. There are also composers' recordings by Gustav Mahler, Camille Saint-Saëns, and by Russian composers Alexander Glazunov, Sergei Lyapunov, Leonid Nikolaev, and Vladimir Rybakov. In the 60s and 70s, a number of archival recordings made on rolls in 1905-1910 was restored by the Melodia Company. The same firm produced a series of long-playing discs with the recordings by outstanding pianists of the beginning of the 20th century. They used the rolls from Glinka Museum collection. Some recordings are by Ferruccio Busoni, Teresa Carreño, Raul Pinho, Josef Goffman, Theodor Leschetizky, Ignacy Paderewski. Others are by the disciples of Franz Liszt, Alfred Reisenauer, Arthur Friedheim, Eugen Dalbert, Emil Sauer, Bernhard Stavenhagen, and Vera Timanova. There are also recordings by Russian pianists Anna Yesipova, Vasily Sapelnikov, Vladimir Drozdov, and composer Alexander Scriabin. It should be pointed out that a restoration of all recordings was carried out by the pianist and sound producer Pavel Labanov. The technique of Rolls visual decoding was also worked out by him. Labanov studied the Rolls of the museum with the recordings of pieces by Edvard Grieg, Bridal Procession and Little Bird. He focused on the change of tempi in Veltomenon performances and created an index for rubato playing. It was found out that notation of the pieces was an inaccurate reflection of the composer's performance. Grieg performed his pieces rubato, although there is an evidence that his attitude to rubato was rather negative. The collection of cylinders and phonographs is not large. It contains about 300 items. The collection confirms the significance of Edison's invention in Russia. Let me quote from a historical reference. In 1897, the Russian ethnographer Evgenia Lenyova started using phonograph as a folklore expeditions to record folk songs. She also developed methods of phonograph recordings deciphering. Her practice was followed by many Russian musicians and amateurs. From 1904 to 1913, the phonograph was widely and most extensively used in Russia. Further on, in the years of famine, cold, and epidemics, Russian researchers continued their work. Folklorists used phonograph even in the 40s. In Glinka Museum, there are Edison's phonographs that belong to the famous Russian folklorists Evgeny Gippius and Alexander Listopadov. During the 20s, Gippius and his wife Zinaida Ewald recorded folk songs on cylinders in the course of their expedition to the Russian north. Gippius also studied music folklore of Central Russia, Belarus, Armenia, people of Siberia, Ugra-Finnish and Turkic nations, gypsies from Leningrad and Moscow. In 1927, he founded a phonogram archive in Leningrad. Alexander Listopadov recorded Don Cossack songs from 1902 to 1940. One more phonograph of the museum collection belonged to the famous singer Irma Janzen, who performed the songs of different nations in 60 languages. She also participated in folklore expeditions. Cylinder records of the museum collections are not related to the folklore expeditions, although part of cylinders had been included into the archive of Gippius. One group of cylinder records was manufactured by the Edison and Patek companies. Another group of them was homemade. The cylinders are of standard size, mainly made of brown wax. There are also cylinders made of black wax and tin foil. The first cylinder records of the museum collection are dated by 1897. The last ones were made in the 30s. The repertoire of the cylinder recordings is typical for the early gramophone recordings. It includes the Russian and foreign classical music, pieces, romances, arias, overtures, and other fragments of operas, as well as potpourri, gypsy songs, popular marches, and dancing music. Among recordings, there are solo and chorus singing. There also can be found the recordings of orchestra, piano, violin, zither, accordion, and Russian horn performance. Artists, predominantly Russian, are represented by the outstanding singers Fyodor Shalyapin, Antonina Nezhdanova, Leonid Sobinov, Anton Sikar-Rozhansky, Nikolai Shevelev, David Yuzhin. There is a recording of Enrico Caruso. The collection of music boxes comprises production of the German and Swiss companies. These are Monopole, Calliope, Symphonian, Fortuna. The repertoire recorded on metal discs ranges from Russian folk songs, gypsy romances, waltzes by Strauss, to fragments from the operas by Glinka, Dargamyshsky, Rimsky-Korsakov, Tchaikovsky, Verdi, and other composers. In the museum collection, there is a very interesting item, music box Ideal, manufactured by the Swiss company Mermoz, with a rather sophisticated device. It has removable cylinders with 8 popular tunes each. A collection of video cassettes and laser discs is now being performed at the museum. The Ministry of Culture of Russia renders assistance in creating of National Video Fund. Some Russian television video materials are granted to the museum, among which there are recordings of the pianist Svetoslav Richter, conductors Evgeny Svetlanov, Vladimir Fedoseev, Gennady Rozhdestvensky, Pavel Kogan, and other outstanding Russian artists. Since the museum has its own studio, it can produce its own audio and video recordings. Besides, the studio furnishes 2 permanent expositions. One of them, Musical Instruments, presents about 900 instruments from all the republics of the former USSR and 50 foreign countries. Another exposition features 3 centuries of the Russian music. Catalogs of audio and video recordings are compiled by the museum. We use the International Standard Bibliographic Description for Non-Book Materials, worked out by IFLA. Current research project is Catalog of Pre-1970 Recordings from Funds of Glinka State Central Museum of Musical Culture. The funds of the museum are accessible. We do welcome everybody who is interested in the collection and is ready to cooperate. Thank you.
Thanks to Natalia and Sergey for traveling all this way to be with us.
And thanks to Michael Beal for setting it up for us.